It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Ricker.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up on Central Time, we look at how Rachel Carson and her book Silent Spring changed the way humans think about nature. She's the subject of a new PBS film that starts airing tonight on Wisconsin Public Television.
First, the ACLU of Wisconsin has filed a class action lawsuit against Wisconsin officials over the alleged mistreatment of young people at the state's two youth prisons.
Both the Lincoln Hills School for Boys and the Copper Lake School for Girls have been under investigation for abuse for some time now, but the new lawsuit alleges that while some changes have been made, the inmates are still receiving cruel and unusual punishment.
Larry Dupuy is with us now. He's the legal director for the ACLU in Wisconsin. Larry, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
Well, let's start by asking the question, why did the ACLU decide to bring this particular lawsuit now with the ongoing federal investigation still going on?
Well, we had initially, when the investigations became public, we obviously were concerned about the rights of these youth in up at Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake. And we hoped, I think with a lot of others, that the scrutiny that was coming to Lincoln Hills would be sufficient to lead to really meaningful reforms. Unfortunately, we continued to hear from both parents and public defenders and other defense attorneys who had clients up there that there were practices that, you know, they had stopped breaking bones, but there were other practices that were continuing that were nearly as barbaric, including extensive use of solitary confinement, 22 to 23 hours a day in a small cell with essentially nothing but a very low bed and a toilet in the cell, and very limited time out of that cell for education. And when out of the cell, an awful lot of the kids are on what they call being on the belt, which means they're locked in wrist shackles by a small short chain to a wrist a waist belt. And then for their supposed hour of exercise, they're chained to a table. And then we had heard about a lot of use of pepper spray, and when we went up to visit a couple of youth in October, we actually witnessed an incident in which a child was pepper sprayed after, you know, he appeared to be on the ground. I'm not sure exactly when the pepper spraying took place. There were a number of guards holding him down on the ground, and after a bit of struggle, they lifted him up and were dragging him in our direction and put him in a cage in a shower to give him an opportunity to wash the spray off, and then escorted him back to a cell where another guard had taken his mattress and left him with a hard rubber mat. And instead of regular clothes, he was in essentially a hospital gown. So, and it's astonishing. I mean, when the ACLU is in a prison, that kind of thing, you know, usually they know we're coming, and they try to make things look like they're going along hunky-dory, and it was astonishing to actually see that.
Now, the state has said that it has made some progress in addressing the problems at Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake, things like body cameras, things like having nurses dispense medication. Do you think those changes have helped make a difference?
Well, I think they've certainly been steps in the right direction. I don't want to say that there hasn't been anything done. I mean, that's certainly not true. There were concerns about the fact that guards were distributing medications and errors were resulting. And I also don't want to malign the guards. I mean, they have an extremely difficult job. They don't seem to have the tools or the training to do it appropriately, because this is unlike other systems around the country, which have come into the 21st, at least into the 20th century. I'm not sure we've gotten beyond the 19th here. And so, you know, they're caught in a system that's very difficult. They don't seem to be, you know, they seem to make some moves to improve things. They don't seem to be breaking bones. But we've seen some of the body cam video, and it shows what continues to be remarkably violent physical encounters with the guards, and often ending in pepper spraying. So there are other ways that other states have learned to manage youth behavior in ways that don't require 200 instances of pepper spray in a 10-month period and months-long solitary confinement stays and chaining people to tables when they're out of their cells. That's just beyond the pale.
Now, this is being approached as a class action lawsuit. So why did you take that course?
Well, it's a fairly standard approach in prison reform litigation. When the conditions of confinement are such that there's a policy or practice that basically applies to all of the prisoners in the same way, and what you want to do is change that policy or practice, you bring a lawsuit on behalf of all of the prisoners who are there. That's essentially what a class action does in this kind of a case. And it's often done in these kinds of cases. Most of the prison and jail litigation that I've been involved in has been class action litigation.
We're talking with Larry Dupuy right now, legal director for ACLU Wisconsin, talking about the lawsuit filed this week over the alleged excessive use of pepper spray and solitary confinement at juvenile correction facilities in the state. And we talked a bit about solitary confinement. What is the ACLU's stance on solitary confinement?
Well, basically, the ACLU's position, and this is a position that's shared by a number of other professional organizations, and including organizations that represent correctional officials, the Council of Juvenile Correctional Association administrators, for example, the National Commission on Correctional Health Care, all take the position that juveniles should not be subjected to solitary confinement at all for purposes of punishment. And to the extent that children may have to be occasionally separated from others to protect others or themselves, that should be for a 1 or maybe 2 hour, maybe 4 hour cooling off period. And if there still needs to be some separation, you're not talking at that point about behavior management. You're talking about probably a psychiatric problem that needs to be addressed entirely differently. We're basically taking the position in this case that many other organizations have already taken, that you simply should not be subjecting children to solitary confinement. And think about it. If you did this to your children, if you locked them in a room for even 5 days straight for 23 hours a day, that would be child abuse. You'd be investigated by the county. So our position is they really just can't be using it anywhere near the way that they're using it now.
Do you have an estimate about how many of these young people are being held in solitary confinement for amounts of time that the ACLU considers too long?
Almost all of them. I mean, basically, what happens is the kids get when they do something that is wrong, they get rolled, which is, you know, the term that the kids use, because they usually get put in a van and taken to one of the security cottages, which is the euphemism they use for the solitary confinement buildings. And they're there until they get a hearing. And the hearing is usually several days after they get there. So almost by definition, they're there longer than the 4 hours or 5 hours that we would say is acceptable. And there are, at any given time, between 22 and 33 kids locked up in the solitary cells. So there are 33, between 20 and 33 kids at any one time who are probably there too long. We don't know exactly what percentage of the total population has been in solitary at some point, and we're not totally sure what, the range of lengths of sentences are. But we certainly know that some of our clients have gotten sentences of more than 72 days in solitary confinement. And you see it very routinely for, 14 days, 15 days, 7 days.
As we wrap up, Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake are run by the state, and Governor Walker has declined to take a tour of these schools. What do you think of that decision?
I really think that it's an eye-opening experience to see the insides of these institutions, and not just the juvenile institutions. I mean, I think, you know, every judge should see where they might be sending their juvenile prisoners, but also their adult prisoners. I think it's a good thing to know what's happening on the inside as much as you can. Now, the reality is, normally when you go to one of these institutions for a tour, the tours tend to sort of give you the most antiseptic view that you could possibly have of the institution. So it's important, I think, to see it, to know what it looks like, to get a sense of, you know, some of the basics. You know, the size of these cells, for example, would be, I think, and the nature of, you know, what's in those cells would be troubling to see, even if they sort of cleared the kids and made it look better. But I think you need to also be aware that, you know, prisons are often, they're among the most opaque institutions in our democratic society. And, you know, it's unless you talk to people who have been there and or are there, it's hard to know how bad it can really be. And again, I don't want to say that this is really about misbehaving guards. It's just the nature of these institutions and systematic problems with funding them, training employees to deal with disputes and anger and disturbance in ways that are not violent in and of themselves.
Larry, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Larry Dupuis is the legal director for the American Civil Liberties Union of Wisconsin, and he joined us to talk about the lawsuit filed this week over the alleged excessive use of pepper spray and solitary confinement at juvenile corrections facilities in Wisconsin.